Now the Three Martini Lunch with Greg Corumbus and Jim Garrity.
And welcome, everyone, to the Wednesday edition of the Three Martini Lunch, along with Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. And Jim, as you and I discussed beforehand, this is one of those days where you just got to adjust the format a little bit, given the gravity and the immensity of the news that we've been absorbing over the last several hours here, and really back to Tuesday afternoon when we learned of the storming of the U.S. embassy in Cairo, the mob taking down the U.S. flag, putting up a black flag that looks a lot like the Al-Qaeda flag. And then, of course, later we learned about the attack on the U.S. consulate in Benghazi and the murder of four Americans, including the U.S. ambassador there. The supposed reason for setting this off was some YouTube video that someone posted that was not very nice to Mohammed. So, of course, the reaction to someone denigrating your religion is to go out and kill a bunch of people. We'll talk a little bit later about the U.S. reaction to this, but Jim, this obviously doesn't speak too well of the consequences of the Arab Spring, and it doesn't speak very well as to stability in the region.
What we have here is a bit of a rerun of a controversy that seems to bubble up every couple of years. We've seen the Muhammad cartoons. We've seen the pastor down in Florida who's going to burn the Korans. In much of the Muslim world, blasphemy is taken extraordinarily seriously to the point where it is literally something worth killing someone over. This is fundamentally unresolvable with the American tradition of free speech and the First Amendment. You know, you don't like what someone else is saying about your religion, but you aren't allowed to kill them over that. This is a basic fundamental level of values, and it is, you know, the horrible violence of yesterday is exacerbated by what, you know, can charitably be called mixed signals, that the statement from the embassy in Cairo issued a statement that appeared to be saying that they did not believe that this filmmaker had the right to make this, which is just flat out not correct. You know, the First Amendment protects that, presuming this was an American who did it or an Israeli who did it. Either way, it is not an Egyptian, and I cannot believe that any United States government official or statement would appear to suggest that we are okay with the application of the death penalty for blasphemy. That is just not the most fundamentally un-American value you can possibly imagine, and it is an absolute acquiescence. Now, this statement allegedly came from the embassy. There's some dispute over the timing. Either it came out as this was becoming a big issue in Egypt, and this was a, you know, move by the embassy to kind of quiet the waters to say, oh no, we think this is wrong too. Or it was done while there was an angry mob around the embassy. If the statement was put out under duress or out of fear by our diplomatic staff, it's every bit as bad, but perhaps a little more understandable that they would put out something that is fundamentally at odds with U.S. policy, and the Obama administration is saying, hey, Washington never approved this statement. The day got worse as word came out of an angry mob outside our consulate in Benghazi that ended up killing our ambassador and three other U.S. diplomatic personnel out there. This is bad, and this really adds, you know, puts the Arab Spring in a whole new light. And I think we, you know, need to suddenly reevaluate how we have responded to the Arab Spring from day one. The other thing is that I don't like this suggestion that the U.S. needs to kind of shade the First Amendment or kind of tweak it a little or emphasize that, you know, look, hey, you know, if you don't like somebody, you know, making fun of your religion, you make fun of their religion. All right. You know, this is never, we have never abided and never should abide the use of murder as a form of intimidation of or suppression of speech. We've seen this many times since 9/11. We've seen this in our own culture. The U.S. publications refusing to publish the Muhammad cartoons. This, you know, the idea that our government would buckle to those same forces is absolutely awful. And very frustrating to see the official statement that you know, from the Obama administration saying that it is not our policy to support the mocking of other religions. Wait, since when is, you know, the U.S. government put any type of restriction on mocking religion? And as, you know, John Stewart said, hey, I'm pretty sure that's covered within our constitutional amendments. In fact, I think it's the top one, so to speak. So just a thoroughly bad development for the United States and for the values we hold dear in the past 24 to 48 hours, Greg.
This statement came before the attack that ended up in the four deaths in Libya. This is specifically in response to the mob in Egypt. Quote, the embassy of the United States in Cairo condemns the continuing efforts by misguided individuals to hurt the religious feelings of Muslims, as we condemn efforts to offend believers of all religions. Respect for religious beliefs is a cornerstone of American democracy. We firmly reject the actions by those who abuse the universal right of free speech to hurt the religious belief of others. Nothing about sovereignty of U.S. territory, attacking people completely unresponsible for whatever they're offended by. And this is, I would call it a manufactured outrage here, since nobody even knew about this thing. The people responsible for the deaths of the people in Benghazi and for the attack on the U.S. Embassy in Cairo are the people who are in the mob. It's not the people who made the video. It's not the people who are concerned about radical Islam on a regular basis. The blame belongs on the people who perpetrated the acts, plain and simple.
Amen.
Martini number one and number two morphed together. One was the outrageous acts that happened, and one was the mealy-mouthed response from the embassy in Cairo. The Obama administration, of course, distancing itself later, either because it got the statement released without its knowledge, which I find hard to believe, or because they saw the backlash to it, which I think is probably more likely. Today we saw responses from Hillary Clinton and President Obama. I thought Hillary's was far more personal and impassioned. The president, he's just not good, Jim, at these emotional kind of gravitas moments. As much as he's touted as a speaker, he really kind of sounded like he was going through the motions there a little bit. I'm sure he's offended and appalled by everything as well, but it just didn't seem to connect very well, I thought.
Yeah, we saw three statements this morning. The first from Hillary Clinton, which I thought was pretty good. At least you could see some genuine emotion in her voice and in her tone. The second came from Mitt Romney, which I thought was not as powerful as I would have liked it to be. He definitely showed a certain emotional deep frustration and sadness over the death of U.S. Diplomatic personnel. He made very clear that he opposed that initial statement from our embassy in Cairo. I think there was an opportunity there for a much broader, for some serious policy statements on how the Obama administration has responded to everything from the Arab Spring to these particular, circumstances. Among them, did we have sufficient security personnel on the ground in these embassies? Do we have it now? I understand we're rushing 50 Marines to Benghazi, which is good to know, but you wonder how much good it's going to do. Apparently, there are reports of additional protests planned in places like Tunisia today. Are our embassies as secure as they ought to be? Or have we kind of been whistling past the graveyard regarding the Arab Spring? We know the Obama administration has seen this as a positive development for U.S. interests, and after being initially optimistic, I've kind of grown more pessimistic with each subsequent month and incident we see. Man, oh man, if this doesn't make you reevaluate the Arab Spring, particularly the fact that the Muslim Brotherhood in Egypt, who's now running the country over there, has yet to denounce the attack.
Right.
I mean, if nothing else, at least the Libyan government recognized the trouble they were in. They have apologized for it. They have denounced it. They have said they're going to attempt to bring the perpetrators to justice. We'll see if anything comes out of that promise. But at least you get the sense that the government in Libya understands just how angered Americans are about this outrage. In Egypt, my understanding is they're calling for a national day of protest about this film on Friday. Friday is, the Muslim day of prayer over there. I've been over in Egypt on Fridays. And this is back in 2003. And they told us to be very cautious on Fridays, because sometimes people go to prayers, they come out of those mosques, full of piss and vinegar and ready to, strike out and lash out at somebody. One of the things that I really would have liked to have seen Romney take the Muslim world to task on, and I realize I'm probably, Mitt Romney's the wrong guy to expect this message from, but there seems to be this tone in many corners of the world that when things are not the way you want, you show up to the U.S. Embassy and you protest. You get violent, you throw things, you chant, you do all that kind of stuff. I notice they don't do this at the Chinese embassy. I notice they don't do this at the Russian embassy. It's probably because they know that the Russian or Chinese security personnel have much itchier trigger fingers than Americans do. Well, it's time for the United States to stop being the scapegoat for everything that goes wrong in the Middle East, North Africa, and everywhere else. And it'd be kind of nice to see a U.S. president really forthrightly stand up and say, this is absolute nonsense. This is relentless scapegoating. It's time for the leaders of these countries to stop using us as the all-purpose boogeyman to cite when things are going wrong in their country. I understand that Hamid Karzai over in Afghanistan is now using this. We are the political prop of choice for them. I think there's a real opportunity over here. Obama's statement from the Rose Garden earlier today was just mashed potatoes. It was utterly bland. I didn't see any type of real substance to it. Our hearts are mourning. We've heard all these cliches time and again from the president, and it was void of passion and extraordinarily frustrating to see a rather paint-by-numbers response from this administration on a matter as important as this.
Basically a speech pulled out of the file. There was no palpable fury that you would expect from an American president at that point. But it would also be nice, Jim, as we head to our third martini, for the national press corps to at least pretend to keep their eye on the ball. The timeline of events, of course, was that first the mob attacked the embassy in Cairo. Then came the response from the U.S. embassy that we talked about. Mitt Romney condemned that relatively late last evening. And then we learned about the events in Benghazi and, of course, the four deaths. And so now when Mitt Romney took questions at his event, all of a sudden the press wants to know why he wasn't more cognizant and more sensitive to what happened in Libya when he couldn't possibly have known about it when he released that initial statement. Here's a montage of the questions Mitt Romney got today.
Do you regret the tone at all, given what we know now?
Do you think, though, coming so soon after the events really had unfolded overnight was appropriate to be weighing in on this as this crisis is unfolding in real time?
Talk about mixed signals. The world is watching. Isn't this itself a mixed signal when you criticize the administration at a time that Americans are being killed? Shouldn't politics stop for this?
Governor, some people have said that you jumped the gun a little in putting that statement out last night and that you should have waited until more details were available. Do you regret having that statement come out so early before we learned about all of the things that were happening?
Did that last lady not hear any of the questions that came before her? Because she asked the exact same question about three or four other people did, Jim. So clearly Romney should have known what was going to happen in Libya before it happened and therefore should have never issued the statement.
Just from the tone of voice, Greg, I can't help but get the feeling that was the lady who said, "But what about your gas?" over in Poland. I can't summarize this better than what Ben Howe, a contributor at Red State, says. The world is on fire, and the mainstream media's most important issue is the timing of Romney's statement about it. It was an egregious performance by the press corps. If you're a skeptic of Mitt Romney, you can legitimately ask Governor Romney, "What if you were president today, if you were in the Oval Office right now, what would you be doing differently than President Obama?" And I think that the onus is on Mitt Romney to answer that question with lots of details. He observed that he would pose the statement from the embassy in Cairo, which is good. But I wanted to see a little more substance from it. And the press corps did nothing to help this. The entire press corps covering Romney was entirely about the timing and the optics and that ninny who asked about, the propriety of attacking the president when Americans are dying. Did he miss the 2004 campaign, Greg? John Kerry, by the way, has issued a statement saying it's not the time to be playing politics with a crisis in the Middle East. Did he forget his entire 2004 presidential campaign, which was nothing but attacking George W. Bush on every policy under the sun, foreign and domestic, while the Iraq war was still going on and Americans were still dying? Seriously? This is one of those moments where it feels like the world has just spun off its axis. The media has just gone along for the ride and they just, we're not going to get anything useful out of them from now until November.
A shameful performance all across the board. There might have been one or two legitimate questions towards the end, but it was obvious what the talking points were in the press. Jim, awful day. Unfortunately, there was no real good martini today. Hopefully we'll have one tomorrow, and we'll talk to you later.
Here's hoping, Greg. See you tomorrow.
Jim Garrity of National Review. I'm Greg Corumbus of Radio America. Please join us again on Thursday for the next 3 Martini Lunch.